explaining about the nature of this life and the results. The results of one's life. So I read the purport of the second of these two verses. Our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada says, in this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Taroi Eva Sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Yam yam rapi smayan bhavam chachat yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kanteya sadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O Arjuna, that state he will attain without fail. Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samad bhavam yadi nastyatra samshayaha. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Magyanatabrandasya gyananjanashalaka chakshramilatamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vanchakapaturibhya Stakribhya Sindhubhya Vacha Pridhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So these are very important verses here in Bhagavad Gita. They are stressing, of course, the significance and what happens at the time of death. And that is something which we all need to know, because that is something we'll all have to deal with in due course. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about the four fundamental facts of life within this material world. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha doshanu darshanam. Janma means birth, mrityu means death, jara means old age, and vyadi means disease. These are the four fundamental facts of life which we all have to deal with. Everyone is Everyone is born sooner or later. Everyone is born at some time. And then gradually one gets older. One experiences some disease. And then old age comes, and finally death comes. Of course, here we are today and we are observing how 2 years ago Jadine passed away. She was only 12. So you could say that there was no old age for her, so therefore this particular, what we have referred to as a fact of life, was not a fact of life for her. But actually it was, because our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, he gave a definition of what is old age. He said old age is that time just before you die. So even if you die when you're 12 or 20 or 30, something like that, at a young age, but the day, the week, the month before you died, it means you were old, in effect. You were old. So these are the four fundamental facts of life. And today we're observing two. Because, as we said, Jadine passed away. And today, or is it actually the same day? Almost. Just about the same day is Charmaine's birthday, so we're not celebrating old age and disease. Although some of us are experiencing those things unceremoniously. Yes, so these are facts of life. These are facts of life. Earlier on in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna refers to these two facts of life particularly. In another verse in the second chapter, let me just try to find that verse. This is chapter 2, verse 27. Jatasya hi dravam ritur dhruvam janmam ritasya cha tasmad apari hareya te natvam sochitam arhasi. One who has taken his birth is sure to die. And after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Yes, so we have all been born already, therefore we are due to die sooner or later. Who knows? Who knows? But death is certain. It is not that any of us will escape it, either by tricky footwork, by bribing our way past it, by the use of force. You can't avoid death. There's one little story we sometimes tell about the man from, where are we here? Queensborough, yes, the man from Queensborough, who met death in person. Yes, death personified. So there was this person living in Queensborough, and he was fairly wealthy, bit of a lani. He was fairly wealthy. He had a servant living out the back in the servant's quarters. And he used to send the servant off every now and then to the Checkers and wherever, to the Pick and Pay in Malvern. And here and there to buy things and so on and keep the place going like that. And he, the boss, the rich man, he would remain comfortable in his house, and the servant would run off and get everything done. So one day, the boss sent the servant off to the Pick and Pay in Malvern to get something. So there was a servant moving around the Pick and Pay through the aisles, getting the different items. Suddenly he bumped into someone. Didn't see the person. Somehow, bang. They just collided with each other in the middle of the Pick and Pay. So naturally, when they banged into each other, naturally they turned around and looked at each other, surprised. So the servant, he looked at who he had bumped into, and who was it? It was death. death was there in the Pick and Pay in Malvern. So death, of course, is ghastly. So when this man, the servant, saw death in person, he was horrified. He was shocked. He was stunned, actually. He just stood there, didn't know what to do. And death was just staring at him, just looking at him straight in the eye, like, watch out. So death was looking at him. He was looking at death, just transfixed. Suddenly death made a strange expression, bizarre look on his face. So that was too much for the servant. He came running back here to Queenswood, told his boss that I just met death, it was terrible. And on top of that, death made this strange expression when he was looking at me, and it was too much. So I'm going to my brother's place in Unit 7, and I'm just going to relax there and take it easy, because it's just, I'm just too bewildered through meeting death and seeing the strange experience. Off he went to Unit 7. So now there's the boss in his big Lani house, but he's got no servant now. So he got a little upset that this death, who does he think he is, frightening my servant? I'm going to go up there to the Pick and Pay and tell him what I think. So off he went to the Pick and Pay himself. And sure enough, death was still there in the Pick and Pay. You know where he was? In the butchery section, with all due respect to Mr. Ackerman and his fans. So there he was. So the rich man went walking up to him, not frightened, and said, "Who do you think you are? You frightened my servant. How can you do that?" And death said, "Well, I'm very sorry, but I just happen to be frightening, and when people see me, they get frightened. What can I do? I'm death." So the boss said, "Well, that's all right. But why did you make that strange expression? You were looking at him, then you made that strange expression. It was too much for him. Why did you do that?" So death said, "Oh, yes, I remember. The reason I made that strange expression was, it was a look of surprise. I was so surprised to see your servant here in the Pick and Pay in Malvern, because I have an appointment with him in his brother's house in Unit 7 tomorrow." Do you get it? That's a very subtle one. So anyway, the moral of the story is you can't escape death. You may be clever. You may be wealthy. You may be powerful. Srila Prabhupada said about the great Mahatma Gandhi. We are all very familiar with Mahatma Gandhi. Such an extraordinary and famous person, even to this day. Down on the highway there's the poster, the billboard, with his picture on it. Even today, 50 years later, after he died, such a big man, such an important and famous man, such a powerful man. So, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, talking about Mahatma Gandhi, said that when his time came, Mahatma Gandhi, one day, you may know the story, there in New Delhi, in the grounds of the Birla Temple, he was walking across on his way to the prayer meeting, and that one man walked up to him and offered him pranams, namaskar, and shot him. And that was the end of Mahatma Gandhi. So, when his time came, what could he do? He was Mahatma Gandhi. He was such a big man. If he would say a few words, the whole country would stop. He was such a big man. But when his time came, when death came, there was nothing he could do at all. He could not say to death, "Wait a minute, I'm Mahatma Gandhi. You leave me alone. Go bother the ordinary people. But me, I'm beyond such things." He couldn't say that. So Prabhupada, the way he put it, very interesting way, he said, when his time came, when Gandhi's time came, then what could he do? He couldn't do anything, even though he was such a big man. So death came. Death came and picked him up and threw him away. Just threw him away. Goodbye. That's all. Nothing special. He could have been Mr. Naidu from Unit 7. He could have been anyone. Death came, just threw him away. That's all. Yes, so, nothing is as sure as death. Nothing is as sure as death. And in that other verse we read, Lord Krishna is saying that for one who dies, birth is certain. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha dosha anudarshana. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, birth, death, old age, and disease. These things, when you are in this world, dukkha, dukkha, these sufferings, birth, death, old age, disease, these are sufferings. So when you are within this world, you must have darshan. Dukkha dosh anu darshanam. You must have darshan of those things. We would like to have darshan. We would like to see some nice show on TV. Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. Or Chori Chori Chupke Chupke. Or something. Because they're a bit out of date now. But we would like to see some nice thing like that. We would like to see some money in front of our eyes. Our money for us. We would like to see some nice things like that. But when we're in this world, then janma mrityu jara vyadi, birth, death, old age and disease, dukkha dosh anudarshanam. We must have darshan. We must see those things. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you are Mr. Gandhi, if you are Mr. Naidu from Unit 7, if you are Bill Gates, then you cannot buy your way past. You cannot do anything. So therefore death is certain. And therefore, we, or any intelligent person should do something about that. Just like when you're sick, you do something about it. Just like when you get old, you do something about it. You retire. You don't go on working till you drop, but you retire and take a holiday. So, what about death? What are we doing about that? To prepare for that? Are we doing anything? We might say, yes, I'm doing something. I've taken out an insurance policy. I've taken out 5 insurance policies. One for my wife, one for my oldest son, one for my daughter, one for my next son, and one for my whoever else. So I've taken out various life policies. And in these ways, I have prepared for death. So, what about, what policy have you taken out for yourself when you die? You take out a policy for your wife. You take out policies for your children. So when you die, they're taken care of. But what policy have you taken out for you when you die, so that you are taken care of? No. Of course, there is no such policy, at least in ordinary everyday life. There is no such policy. Because people think that, well, they don't know what to think, really. People think different things. Some people think that when I die, that's the end. That'll be it. Then there's nothing. So I don't have to do anything about myself for when I die, because there will be nothing. So there's no need to do anything, to make any arrangement for nothing. Other people think that when I die, I will automatically go to heaven. But it's not necessarily so simple. It's not necessarily so simple that everybody who dies, they just go to heaven. Here in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is explaining the process. There is a process for setting some goal, setting some course for your progress in order to achieve something specific at the time of your death. Just as, well, I could say that Srila Prabhupada in this regard, in regard to this idea of establishing some goal, something to achieve at the time of death, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, said that this human form of life is something like an educational course. Just like when you go to school, when you go to university, then you're taking some course and there's a goal. And you can choose the goal. You go to university, you can become a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, or so many things. It's up to you to choose and then work towards it. It is not that you go to university and you don't know how you're going to come out. You don't know what the result will be. No. You choose your direction. So, Prabhupada said, our lives are like that, like an educational course. And you can choose the goal. Actually, you are choosing your goal, whether you like it or not. But most people don't know that. And just like when you go to university, so you choose your goal. I'm going to become engineer, mechanical engineer, for argument's sake. However, if when you're attending university, you don't go to the lectures, you just go to all the parties, you don't study, you just go to all the parties and drink and chase the girls and smoke dukkha and so on and so forth, because those facilities are also there at the university. So you do that. Now, you've chosen the course of engineering, but you're not following it. You're taking some other direction. So is it that you are not, now that you're just partying and doing whatever you feel like, and you're not studying, does that mean you are not choosing a goal? Actually, you are choosing a goal. You're choosing the goal of failure, and you'll succeed in failing too. You'll succeed. You may not, within your mind, you may not be thinking, I want to fail, but you're conducting yourself in such a way that you must fail, and you will fail. So even though it's not deliberate, still you are choosing that course. So in our lives, we are also choosing a course. Krishna is saying here, antakale chamam eva smanan. Those who remember me, antakale, anta means the end, Kali means time. Those who remember me at the time of the end, at the time of death, Muktva, they come to me, they are liberated. They are liberated. So we can choose that. We can choose to cultivate in our lives, to work and develop our lives in such a way to achieve that goal. Just like at university, you want to become an engineer, so you can work towards it and cultivate that and succeed. So similarly in our lives, the idea is to remember God at the end of this life, to be fixed in God consciousness, and in that way go to God at the end of life. So an intelligent person will organize his life like that. But, just like, again, the example of going to university, that person who doesn't study, but they just hang around and go to all the parties and waste their time, that sort of thing. And therefore, their path is one of failure, even though they are not desiring to fail. But in effect, they will only achieve that. So if we simply live our lives, just as they say, in eat, drink, and be merry, so on and so forth, just getting involved in materialistic life, just working hard to get money, to get a nice house, to get a nice TV, get a nice car or two, get nice clothes, eat nicely, so on and so forth. These very ordinary achievements, which are simply worldly achievements for our life now, so we can just enjoy life now, but without some real idea of the future beyond this life. So if we just try to have a quote-unquote so-called good time, partying, big social life, all these types of things, materialistic way of life, then we may not be desiring deliberately that I want to fail at the time of death. I want to fail. I want to be unable to remember God and like this. But even though it is not deliberate, but the end will be the same. The end will be the same. Just like when you go to university, but you don't take the course, you don't become educated, you don't work towards the goal. So in our lives, if we don't work toward the goal of being fixed in God consciousness, remembering the Lord, under all circumstances at the time of death, being able to fix our minds on him at the time of death, come what may. So, if we don't work towards that, then it's just like someone taking an educational course, but they're not actually really working towards the goal. So, now of course you could say that here Krishna says that we should remember him at the time of death. So you could say, all right, in the meantime, I'll carry on doing whatever I like, but when the time of death comes, I will suddenly remember God, I will just remember God, everything will be fine, and then the time of death will come and I'll be remembering God, and I will have achieved it. But is it that simple? Is it that simple? Just remember God just like that. No, not so simple. Just like, again, the example of going to university, studying engineering. Is it so simple that you can just party your way through university? Finally, when the final exam comes, then in one day or one week even, you decide, right, now I'm going to learn everything in one week and pass. Is it so easy? Not so easy. Even if you're some Einstein, probably you couldn't pass. Learn everything in 1 week. Yes. So, in order to come to that point, to become qualified, so one can actually remember the Supreme Lord, be fixed in God throughout all those years, you have to work steadily and faithfully towards it. So this is a very simple principle. This is a very simple principle, actually. It's the principle of becoming educated and fixed in a certain discipline, fixed in a certain state of mind. Yes. In one situation, you have to become fixed in a certain state of mind to pass the exam at university. You have to become fixed in engineer consciousness, engineer state of mind. It's a particular state of mind, thinking in a particular way. So to pass the final exam at the time of death, we have to become fixed in God consciousness, fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then we can go to Krishna. We can go to Krishna means leave this material world, this place of birth and death. Go to that eternal realm, the eternal kingdom, where there is no birth, death, old age and disease. There are no taxes. There is no bad health. There are no bosses to boss you around and people to harass you. There's no one to hijack you or any of these other phenomena. But life is simply eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge, in the direct company of God, face to face with God. That is the perfection of life. That is the perfection of life. But if you fail, just like if you fail the final exam in university, what happens? You have to come back and do it again. So similarly, if we fail that test at the time of death, we have to come back and do it again. We have to take birth again within this material world. Yes. So, today, or just recently, was the anniversary of the passing of Jaden. And also round about the same time was the birthday of Charmaine. And, of course, you know, particularly we're prone to remember Jaden and the unfortunate circumstances surrounding her passing away, and just the fact that she passed away at such an early age is in itself unfortunate. But this is one of the great facts of life. Who is sitting here who can say that, no, it's not going to happen to me. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. There's so many problems that could occur in our lives. And we make arrangements to deal with those problems. We have to eat. That's a problem. So we arrange to get food. We need a house, so we arrange to get a house. So what about arranging for death? This is certain. Death is certain. Actually, just in recent days, over the last few weeks, couple of months or so, a number of people known to us have passed away, very close to us. You may remember that back, when was it? Oh, I forget exactly, but was it in December or November or something? George Harrison died. When was that? Was it November? Okay. A few months ago, of course, you know, most of us never met him, but I'm sure you've heard of him. He was very close to our movement for many years. For 30 years, a little over 30 years. Very, very close to our movement. Helped our movement, chanted Hare Krishna regularly, and very closely, very much loved and appreciated by our devotees. So he passed away. Then, sometime around that time, one other devotee, Tribhuvanath, who again would be, I think he would be unknown to most of you, but I knew him very well. He also passed away from cancer at a young age, 50 or something like that. I mean, not young age, but not an old age. Then on Friday, a week ago yesterday, one of the most senior devotees in our movement passed away. One of the most senior devotees in our movement. When I say one of the most senior, I mean in at least the top few, five or so most senior members of our movement. And in fact, we'll be going back in a little while to have a special service for him in our temple. So, it looks like the season for these things. And I was just with my mother in New Zealand in February. My 83-year-old mother, who's also a great George Harrison fan. And whenever I go back, she tells me who's died of the people who are close to her. So that's the nature of this world. That is the nature of this world. And we, an intelligent person, will be aware that this is one of the hard realities. This is one of the hard realities of life. We have to do something about it. So this is what we've talked about. We have to prepare. In the purport, Prabhupada, our spiritual master, says that the sort of foundational part, the first step in preparing, is to chant. If you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you chant regularly, or even, ideally, if you chant always, then you'll be remembering Krishna. It's very nice, the spiritual sound. Very, very nice. I could tell you a little incident with George Harrison, which happened in my presence. I knew him a little bit. I joined our movement in England about 30 years ago, and he was around. So we were at his place in 1979, visiting his house, visiting him for a few hours one day, and we were talking about this chanting. He was talking about his experiences chanting, how on a number of occasions he chanted for 6 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, once 23 hours non-stop, him and John Lennon, once, 23 hours non-stop, and just so completely into it, relishing it so much, and he was saying what a wonderful experience it was. So I said to him, well, how would it be? You know, this Hare Krishna, this is spiritual sound. So you can do like that for hours, and you don't get sick of it and want to stop and sing something else. So I said to him, what about, now I don't know if any of you are old Beatles fans, or if you remember any of their songs, but there was one of their very famous songs called I Want to Hold Your Hand. What a funny title. Have you heard of that? All right. Famous song, maybe. Almost 40 years ago. So I said to him, what would it be like if you sang I Want to Hold Your Hand for 23 hours? He looked at me. He laughed. He laughed. And he said, well, I think it would be a hard day's night. I don't know if you get that. You'd have to know a little bit about the Beatles to get that. But it's true. Can you imagine singing Kuch Kuch Hota Hai? for 23 hours or any such song? Amita Bachchan hit? Can you? Well, try and see what happens. See if you make it. Anyway, we predict that if you did it, that, you'd get tired of it quite quickly. But the spiritual sound, this is something different. This is something different. This is eternal. And the experience of doing it is eternal. And it takes you beyond all the experiences of this world. Experiences like beginning and end. Experiences like liking something but then getting sick of it after a while. This is what happens with material things. This is what happens with material things. Just like some people who are very rich, some people are very rich, and they have many servants who are, like kings, people like that, who have people around just glorifying them and telling them how great they are. Sometimes they like to just dress as an ordinary person and just go out in disguise and just mix with the ordinary people because they get sick of it. They get sick of it. Yes. So this then is the foundational practice, first step in preparing ourselves for remembering God at the time of death. In other words, it is not something morbid, something negative, that now I'm walking around thinking I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I may die now, I may die tomorrow, I may die the day after. Just death, death, death. It is not like some negative experience like that. Preparing for death is not a negative experience. No. The first step is this chanting. The first step in fixing our minds on the Lord is this chanting. And we just gave the example of George Harrison and John Lennon. How they chanted once for 23 hours. And it was just so wonderful. So in other words, the cultivation of God consciousness, the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, is not some negative, dry thing, but is a very wonderful, blissful experience. Very, very beautiful experience. Very happy experience. So we should do like that. We should do like that. Don't worry, I'll finish. Just give me 2 minutes. So, we should prepare ourselves. First step is chanting. So we should all chant. And then, just like here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, explaining to him these things. How to prepare yourself. How to advance spiritually. So what does Krishna tell Arjuna? He tells them, this is one thing, that you should chant the names of God. But he also tells him, you should do your duty. Ma manusmara yudyacha, Krishna says. You remember me. And fight. Arjuna was a warrior. So his natural duty was to fight. So your duty may be, whatever it may be, you may be a businessman, factory worker, housewife, whatever it may be. But Krishna says, Ma manusmara yudyacha. You remember me and do your duty. Do your duty as a service to me. So this is what we should cultivate. The first step is to chant the names of God. The second step is to dedicate our duties, our life's activities for his service. Just like Arjuna fought for Krishna. So if you're a housewife, you can organize your house for Krishna. Create a God-conscious atmosphere in your house. It's a simple thing. It's not some very technical, deep, spiritual thing that only certain people can do. If you're a housewife, you just create a godly environment in your house. It's not so hard. And whatever your duty is, if Arjuna could do it in fighting, then I'm sure you can do it in whatever you're doing. It's not that hard. If George Harrison could do it while singing and being so extremely popular, then why can't you? Well, you can. It's not difficult. You can, you should, you must, actually. So we should work towards that. Try to take our lives seriously and constructively. Not just live from day to day, making money, taking life as it comes, but trying to work and cultivate towards that goal of being able to remember God, being fixed in Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, at the end of this life. And in the meantime, we'll be very happy. Just like George Harrison was so happy chanting Hare Krishna, Arjuna was fighting. And Prabhupada said, for him it was just like he was dancing on the battlefield. It wasn't some big struggle, horrible, violent experience, because he was in God consciousness. It was very blissful. So let us do the same in our lives. Transform our lives so that we'll be prepared for the time of death when it comes. And in the meantime, we'll be very happy. Very, very happy indeed. Hare Krishna. So thank you all for listening very patiently. I must say, on the whole, you are a very attentive, quiet crowd. Well done. Not everyone does as well as you did. So now what we'll do, we're about to conclude the program. So we will have arati. We'll offer arati here in front of the altar. And we will offer Guru Puja, we will offer flower petals. So we're going to offer flower petals to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. This is called Guru Puja, the worship of the spiritual master. So we can all come up one by one. The flowers are over there on the side. Offer a few flowers and bow down as the arati is going on, and chant Hare Krishna as the kirtan is going on during the arati. Hare Krishna.